With that, I'll call the meeting to order. And I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
So, motion by Van Dusen, a second. Second from Greg, Mr. Endres. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion carries, the agenda is approved. I'm sorry, all opposed say no. Sorry, Rusty, it's been a month. So, okay, motion carries, the agenda is approved. And then you should have a copy of the minutes from last time in your pile. And Julie, before I forget, there's the page for you to sign, assuming we approve. So if you guys are good with the minutes, this is from May the 2nd, so before the election, I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes. So a motion from Mr. Waslin, is there a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Koistinen. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The minutes are approved. And then we'll plunge into the discussion. So tonight, just to preface things, the way this agenda is designed is to get some information out on the table, so we understand what's available to us in our options after the election, and then the idea is to get a basic idea of some of the different options, so variables by size of project, type of project, the timing of a possible vote. The kind of financing, so understanding those various options as we go through this. So we're going to go through some discussion to get to that point, but we're not trying to dive into a lot of detail, but we're trying to get to a set of things that we can look at, you know, pros and cons as we move forward. So, okay, so just to, I want to kind of give people an idea of, hope you can see this, it's in your handout. I have one extra handout, or two extra handouts if people want to. Everybody up here got a handout? There's a couple for you guys to share. back there. So if you remember, this is the timeline beforehand. So you see the red line in the middle of the slide is that's more or less. It moved on me. Yeah. Well, more or less today would be over here. This is an old version. So more or less today would be over here. So we got to the point where we voted. You know, the second vote failed. But this is the way it was planned out before the vote. So all this green stuff was the stuff we'd done, like the jail consultants, the court consultant, and then visiting other jails, developing the options that Bruce and his team helped us through, developing the criteria. So that's, we still have that stuff is all pretty much done. We might need to update a thing or two, but that part's done. And so then we had the vote, and you're probably interested in seeing this, so I put the slide about this in. So that's 2014. So you can see what the vote was, about 27% for, and then the rest 73-ish% against in 2014. So we made some progress, but not quite enough. So it was about 48.5 to 51.5 in this time. And so the difference, we need a simple majority. So we're back in 2014, the county was 22.72%, shy of 50%. And then this time, less than 2%. So, you know, I guess you can say there's progress there in the discussion, so in the process. And so where does that leave us? Well, the red line in the middle of this is today. So, and I apologize. I know not everybody loves these timelines like I do. Sorry, but you can study them at night. They're in your packet. So, but we still have this stuff done. Some of the things over here we need to work on, probably maybe asking Bill Garnos to update some of the jail numbers to incorporate the data from 2016 and 2017 to make sure that the projections are still accurate as we continue on. I think we need to look at the criteria again. That's my suggestion. And then take a look at the options again. And we've done that a lot, but we had a menu of options, as you'll recall, before we came up with the one that was voted on. And then this is all the blueprints and the actual design process and construction is out here. So that this would be about the best case is to start that, you know, instantly. But that's probably not, this is like the utopian case. So if that was to start soon, somehow, you know, say county commissioners just approved it by themselves, it wasn't referred, and then off we go. But that's not as likely. So, and then I wanted people to be aware on the bottom here. This is not printed on your slide, but I'll put it in the minutes. Some of the complementary efforts that are going on, this was a question that came up toward as we got closer to the election, about things like, you know, why don't we just take all the drug offenders out of jail and do something else with them? Well, you know, most drug offenders aren't in jail. So, and understanding that, so we have, these are some of the main jail alternative programs, and Sheriff and company, please add, and we can add to this to make, just so we're aware of this. So this is more for our situational awareness as a committee. This is the 24/7 program that's been going on since 2008, right? Is that 2008 was when it started, I believe. If you look at our data, you'll see that's when there was a slight decline in the rate of increase of ADP in 2008. And then the mental health initiative, we started that back in 2015 with the Stepping Up initiative. We have fall of 2015, we have a mental health professional doing 20 hours a week in the jail. And now we're progressing on that, and we have stuff coming up, the strategic intercept model, which is basically mapping how a person with a behavioral problem goes through the justice system. So that's kind of, these are the systemic things that we're looking at. And hopefully that will maybe reduce the jail population, or at least reduce the rate of increase of the ADP. And then the next one we're getting going on is the juvenile detention. That's some of that juvenile diversion has been going on in the community with teen court and things like that. But now we're getting going with that more seriously. And we have a juvenile detention alternative initiative technical assistance kickoff in July. So those are some stuff that we're looking at right now. And then there's other things that we still have to continue on. But that's really a marathon. So that's to put it in context after the vote. And then, let's see. Oh, this is, what was I doing that? Less than desk. I think I took.
You had two timelines.
Oh, yeah. So this was just the only difference with this slide and the last slide was this stuff gets, as we push out the vote, these portions, like the blueprint drawing or the design portion of the process where Bruce gets to work, that gets pushed out. So this is 2018 up here, and then construction obviously gets pushed out too. And as we do that, you know, we'll talk about the impacts of cost as we go through. And if anybody has a question on the committee, please stop and ask. So, okay, then the bottom part's the same. And then here's the criteria that we had. So this is something that was approved back in early 2016 by the county commissioners. I'd be curious about people's point of view, but the kinds of things, I can give you an idea of what I was thinking on this and let people speak up. On the, say for example, we had project cost as a level 2 priority because we thought that was more short term, so the initial cost up front, as opposed to operational cost, which is where we expect the cost to really be incurred over time. And so that was a higher priority. However, from the voter's perspective, perhaps we need to at least think of this as a priority one. And I know we had a little bit of talk about this before the vote, maybe 6 or 7 months ago. So that might be something that we need to, I don't know if we need to formally revise the criteria, but at least understand that. And then understand this in the must-do area, particularly on the, when we talk minimum size and the, you know, basically what the consultants told us were the minimums for the square footages and the size of the structures. Realize that we're talking about doing portions of that now. So as we go into it, so we can recommend to the commissioners that we revise this a bit. I think in general, they're all the things on there. My view is that all the things on there are still useful things, but it might be a question of you know, where we put them, how we prioritize them, level of importance. And it was pretty useful earlier on in the process as we were talking some of the larger muscle movements about, like, say, 212 versus downtown and things like that. Anybody have any comment on this part?
Well, you're not going to be. I guess the question is, you know, what's the path from here? What is the correct path from here? Irregardless of some of this information, while it's all very important, you've got a jail facility that's a liability to this county.
Yeah.
I mean, priority one. I mean, I feel for the judge, and I feel for some of the other groups that have space requirements, but the reality is what we've seen from the public is that they're not going to support a facility of a certain budget that is going to support all these space needs. And so how do you get there from here? And I think there's a minimum need, and the minimum need is how do you address the liability of the jail? Mm-hmm. And the long term is how do you address some of these other things over time by saving money, by over the long term. I guess because what I saw is I think you all did a commendable job. I mean, it's a real need. It's a liability to the county. It's a problem from a staffing issue. It's a problem from an inmate risk and safety issue. But I think what you saw from that 72% no to this 51% was a reconciliation of a budget that was trying to get down there as close as possible, and it was almost there. So the question is now, what is the appropriate way to go? And again, I think going through this discussion is important, but at the end of the day, what's going to be the appropriate next step? And okay. I think Toby's going to talk about some of these bonding, but
yeah, okay.
Well, I basically agree with you, but I do think it's important that we would get that extra jury trial room, because then maybe the courts could clean up some of these cases quicker, get them through the system faster.
Absolutely.
I think that's a necessity that we have to do.
And you're absolutely right, Alan. Because we did a revised estimate to talk about tonight, and that's absolutely true. I think the very minimum that needs to be done with the jail facility. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's true, but as a circuit court judge, I think remodeling what was in the plans for a larger courtroom in the lower level, I had no problem with that. And I agree with everyone in this room, or at least on the committee, the main liability and the biggest liability is the jail, and that certainly is the priority.
Okay. I think maybe the question is, it sounds to me like both are critical needs. How much would having another jury courtroom speed up the process is maybe kind of what, is that kind of what you're getting to?
Get them out of jail quicker, either sentenced and gone, or
it might relieve some
parole or whatever.
Yeah. It probably might relieve a little pressure if that was conceivable. But I mean, I'm not in a position to say
maybe
that.
Maybe the judges have to take a look at their sentencing patterns.
That's what I was going to ask.
And reducing the number of days on a served on a conviction on a class 6 or class 5 felony where we don't send the defendant to prison.
Okay.
And maybe the we judges have to take a look at that.
Let's come
balance that with the safety of the community.
Let's come back to that then.
If we're reducing sentences from 60 days to 30 or 30 to 10 or whatever the number is, I don't know.
I don't envy
what impact
those decisions
would that have on the safety of this community and the county.
So let me come. There we have a. Oh, can we talk about that a little bit later? Well, go ahead, Bruce. What are you going
to
say?
That goes back to I think it's worth it to have Bill Garnos look at this again, look at where you're tracking, and judge again. If you've got high recidivism, that's not going to help some of that. But I think it's worth looking at some of the sentencing because you might be able to reduce some amount of day beds required and beds that. So maybe that will reduce some of it. So it's, I think, worth looking at that.
Okay.
Because you might be able to, we've got another facility we're looking at right now where one of the options was less beds, but shelling that space for future expansion. So that could say, maybe we can get by with a little bit less and we'll build that in the future. So,
Anyway. Well, along those lines, talking about needing less beds, you and I have talked about it, where Department of Justice, South Dakota Department of Corrections, is currently using an app on smartphones. And so people that are out on parole, they can watch them all the time. And not all the time, but they call them once in a while. They know right where they're at if they're out of bounds. But perhaps that is something that can be done for work release individuals if we can have them go out in the public, or maybe we can have them just go home and then we won't even need a bed.
Sure. Do you use electronic home monitor right now?
We been, for the last 6-7 months now, we've been using it for our work with these people right now to kind of keep an eye on where they are when they're out and about.
But you're not using that phone app, are you?
Not the phone app.
Right.
It's a it's a bracelet that they put on, and it's a newer technology. And, we do have limitations with that, you know, certain buildings and basements and cell coverage and whatnot, to where they are and whatnot. But it does have some of the capabilities of what you're talking about built into the program.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that you're not supposed to be here, there, and whatnot.
And the reason I bring that up, Al, is whether or not you're using a state app or whether you're using that system, you're still using the software, you're still using the program to reduce potential beds. Mm-hmm. If the sheriff said you weren't using electronic monitoring at all, then that would be a program you can implement. But I think you're implementing a number of the programs to try to reduce the number of inmates in jail. If they're appropriate, their sentencing is appropriate.
Maybe the judge can speak for this too, but we've had numerous times where somebody's been sentenced to home confinement or to the bracelet to stay home. You know, they're maybe out, a lower offender or something like that. And we actually got a guy in, as we speak right now, that was on home confinement, and he was out committing burglaries on home confinement.
Yeah. Was he easy to find?
I've been on the bench 2.5 years every time I sentence somebody to house arrest and electronic monitoring, there's been a violation. I had to revoke it, and it was those cases were dangerous to the public and the safety of this community because of the violent crimes or the threatening behavior all of these defendants engaged in. So again, I'm a relatively new judge, but to this committee, that's my experience.
I think it's something we should maybe explore.
Yeah.
With other agencies, and you know, see what kind of rates they have. Yeah. And,
well, I think they're safe to go into the public for work release. Then wouldn't they be? And they can be called any time on that phone app, and they have to answer. You can see where they're at, the GPS coordinates. You can tell if they've been drinking. You got to give a code, and if they slur the words. Department of Corrections, they're using it. They're happy with it.
I don't see the violations. Let's
come back to. Sorry to interrupt, but let's come back to alternatives. I know that's on the agenda. The alternatives, and then we're not going to solve it here. We're just kind of throwing out ideas. But that's the alternatives are they're a big deal. But we're seeing like with the mental health one and the juvenile justice. I mean, it's the community involvement is. It's beyond just, you know, UJS and the county and law enforcement. It's a lot of stuff, and so it's the marathon, not a sprint. But it can have good results, especially in the long run. So anyway, if you excuse me for interrupting, let's move on with the agenda, and then we'll come back to that a little bit more alternatives discussion. But this is kind of just understanding Europe Next, Toby, the funding options. So I threw some ideas on here, so. And just to refresh everybody's memory, so this past vote, as was the previous vote, they were both the 2014 vote and the 2017 vote were both for a general obligation bond. Okay, and maybe if you can give us the primer on the different kinds of options that a county would have, you know, whether they go to the voters or not, what options would a county have to finance something like this? And then just so we have a clear picture of the menu, and then what's available to us. As we plug them into certain options. So.
Lee, can I make a recommendation? There's people here that don't know who you are.
Oh,
can you just introduce yourself and tell us who you are?
Toby Morris with Doherty & Company. Worked quite a bit with the previous commission in 2014, and then when Lee came on, I think in 2016, started talking quite a bit, knowing that this was coming back in 2017. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of work with city schools, counties around the state, do a lot of referendum work, you know, some positive, some negative. I guess it just depends on the outcome with that. And so having worked with, you know, Lee for the past 2 years, interacting back and forth, and what are the different mechanisms for financing for jails. And it's interesting because not a lot of counties, they have the same global issue, but they have different revenue streams of how they pay for it. And so in the terms, when we looked at this back in 2014, counties are still stuck in the property tax freeze of 1998. At that time, you could have levied up to 90 cents per thousand without having a vote of the people. the legislator came in and said, hey, look, the property taxes are creeping too much. Jenkel ran on the campaign of freezing property tax. And so what happened was you could never raise a property tax growth plus CPI is the magic formula that they came up with. And so over time, the counties that were levying close to that 90 cents versus those that were not proved to be the winners over time just because of inflation and everything that was happening. Kyneton County was one of those that was not levying close to 90 cents. So when we looked at it in 2014, at roughly the $30, $32 million, everything in the kitchen soup put into it, the only option that the county had was to go to a general obligation. There's three ways you could finance that. The first way, the general obligation, automatically goes to the vote of the people. The COP, which is called a Certificate of Participation, which is similar to a lease, can be referred to the vote of the people. Same way with the lease. What happens in the financial world is the purest form of security is an unlimited obligation of a county. And so by that, you're going to get rewarded with the lowest interest rates. And there can be a difference of anywhere from 50 to 75 basis points between a GO and a COP. When you get into a lease, you can get into 100 to 200 basis points or 1 or 2% on average higher interest costs over the life of the loan. So you throw an extra 2% on a $20 million deal, it's huge. And so that was the discussion of saying, hey, we want to be financially efficient, and that was to go to the general obligation route.
So what did you say for the COP is how much higher than a general obligation route?
It's 50 to 75 basis points.
So it's like point.
A half a point to three quarters of a point.
Okay.
Where you use a COP, Hughes County, we did a COP, and why is that? Because Hughes County has a lot of federal inmates that come in. There's a difference between a federal inmate and your own cost of your own inmate. I think right now Light Oak gets about $80, $82 a day for a federal inmate, and because you have the courthouse there, and you can make money on the federal inmates. City of Winter, when you're located next to those reservations, the feds have to take them somewhere. The City of Winter makes money on that. Kyneton County, you don't have a lot of federal inmates. You have your own inmates. You have other county inmates that come in. We discussed early on, is it right that Hamlin County doesn't pay their fair share? What is their fair share? I think your contract's like 45 or 50 bucks.
$75.
Is it up to 75 now? Okay. So that's where the COP, what that does is it says, okay, you in Hughes County, we said, there was enough revenue coming in that justified building the jail because the new revenue would pay for the debt service, so it would be tax neutral to the folks within of Hughes County. Roberts County had a huge issue where their juveniles were being sent up to Fargo and paying $220 to $250, and it was bankrupting the county, so that's why they passed the general obligation up there. But with here, we look at it and said, we didn't have the revenue coming in. It's sketchy between counties. They want to pay it, but also, if Minnehaha County opens up down there, they're always constantly moving around. And so that is where you get the different financing mechanisms. A COP is a matter of saying the county can pass a resolution to take out the financing. If it's not referred within 20 days, the county has the right to enter into that financing, and as long as that levy is under 90 cents, you can do it. You could do that now, but the issue we thought about was we've already gone to election once. Mm-hmm. It was going to be referred, so if it's going to be referred, we might as well have a general obligation and save that 50 basis points or a half a percent on $19 million because it made up a huge difference. So if you know if it's going to get referred, it's the same deal. It's 50% to pass a general obligation as 50% to pass a referendum of a lease.
And Brookings County did the COP, correct?
They did the COP.
Yeah.
And the larger the county, the larger the valuation. 5 cents in Minnehaha County is a heck of a difference between 5 cents because they're probably a $10, $12 billion valuation. You're what, $1.3 billion, $1.5 billion, I think, right in there?
I want to say so, yeah.
And so that debt service... is spread out so much more over that valuation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was the route that you would go to the general obligation side. If you had the federal prisoners, you know, Winter makes money, Walworth County's looking at that. But it's a gamble, too, because you have to run it as a hotel.
So
you have to occupy beds.
So your suggestion, then, is the geobond?
It was the thought is going to get referred anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're going to a vote, go with the best interest rate possible.
You know, it's interesting, too, though, to mention, there's a lot of states in this country that put these kinds of decisions in the hands of the county commissioners because it's a public liability.
Correct.
So it's fun. It's interesting because there's some states that they don't subject it to a referendum. They don't subject it to a reverse referendum just because of the liability issue. But, again, we're dealing with a different scenario here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because when it deals with public safety, while you do want to give the public their due to have support and comment and understanding what needs to be done, there's certain things within the world, within our world that we live in. You know, do you not have a fire station? Do you have a fire station? It's a public safety risk. So there's some of those kinds of things that basically they say, you know what, you've been entrusted by the public. We're going to entrust you to make those kinds of decisions. Again, it's not appropriate in this situation. It doesn't apply to this situation. But I think the scenario here is, just like Brookings, the county board could select, you know what, we're going to vote on this. We're going to do a COP, and we need to move forward. Having gone through the process like you have, though, I think there's the question is, what is the appropriate direction to go, and then go back to the GO, I would think. Correct.
Well, here's what this information is going to help us develop the options. So on the one hand, yeah, you could do a COP quickly, and that would save construction costs. Maybe.
If it doesn't get referred.
Yeah. And then would that offset the increase in interest? That kind of thing. So that's
you could. But you then, could split
but
the issue.
But you'd have to have enough public awareness to avoid getting it referred. You'd have to do that.
Well,
so,
I'll tell you that, again, I don't think that's necessarily the way to go, but the public awareness is strictly that the county board agrees to it in a county board meeting and has to give a certain 20 days for it to be referred.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Now, here's a thought, just to expand upon that.
Sure.
What you can do is, if you go to your options like we had earlier, where you went from 13 to 20 million, I think the biggest question to ask is, what amount is the public going to pass? You know, it's obviously stuck in their mind that it's either 14.9 million. We know it's not 19. We definitely know it's not 32. What amount will pass? So if you think that amount is 14.5 million, even though you have 20 million worth of needs, do you go to the vote of 14.5 and then in 3 years, or, you know, after a reasonable time, do the COP? Because if the county can still save 5 to 6 million, that says to me they're putting away 300,000 to 500,000 a year. Do they dedicate that to debt service so you can say to the public, it was never our intention to raise the taxes to get the additional courtrooms, to get what they need, but you have to have that jail. And it starts with that jail, and then you come back. And unfortunately, you piecemeal it to get where it needs to be. But I've always said, what's financially efficient generally isn't politically correct, and we got to go with what's politically correct to pass what amount you need.
Okay. Well,
as a thought.
Okay. I think okay. So that's the financial piece. Then on the design options, we've. Thank you, by the way, Toby, for that. And on the this is the same slide that we had before probably about 4 months ago, as we settled in on that, on the option number 6, more or less, which is what was voted on. So that's what, even though it says the numbers have been updated since then. So these are old numbers, but you get a general idea of the different design options that we looked at. So the one that was voted on was basically the new jail. With the small courtroom, sheriff's operations, and then remodeling the existing jail, remodeling the existing courthouse. And that's, even though it says $20 million on this slide, we worked it out to 18.875.
Reduce the size of the sheriff's area, reduce the LEC garage.
We took away the garage and all that stuff.
To get that down.
So, and I just put the red shading there is just mine, just saying that basically the voters essentially said no to those two options. I guess you could make a case that maybe if you took the sheriff's operations off of any of them, they might be more palatable. But anyway, so just to give an idea, so if we're looking at, if you can just give us some rough idea, Bruce, of say we're looking at, and if anybody else has questions, please chime in on this one. Say options one or options two, the smaller options. So option one, by the way, it says new jail on there. That includes that jail courtroom, though.
Yeah, exactly. So we ran some new numbers based on current values, and we've got a lot of projects that are bidding right now and going through this, and we adjusted the areas. And I think total construction, if you, and we're looking at inflation up to 2019. So 2019 is when you assume construction starts, and that's, you have to inflate the construction values at that point. We're looking roughly about a 15,800,000 is roughly the number we came up with for construction cost, about 15,800,000.
Okay.
Total project cost, including soft costs, is almost 19 million, very close to 19.
So the whole thing,
is 19 million.
Okay.
And then if you back out your 5.5 million that the county funds that have been saved, you're roughly at about a $13.5 million project.
Okay. So that's option one.
And that's jail. It's basically jail anyway.
Okay, that's construction
1919.
Okay.
Yeah, or 2019, excuse me.
All right.
If you, and again, this is timing, if you push it out a year, and what we're seeing, you know, things are increasing. They increase from year to year to year. Mm-hmm. As the economy gets stronger, contractors are not as hungry for projects, materials become more expensive, and so you see an inflation spike. When we were in the recession, you had a fairly flat inflationary factor. It was very flat. We're seeing anywhere from about 4% to about 5%. So if you increase that inflation by another year, it's about another $800,000 to wait another year based on inflation. Now, part of that's counterbalanced with if you can save additional money, you know, if you can save additional funds, so that 4 point or that 5.5 goes up to 5.8 or whatever, that counterbalances some of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you might have more inflation, but you're saving
bigger down payment. Yeah.
Okay. Haley, I was looking at that land acquisition estimate. Isn't that considerably higher? I mean,
it is. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it did come out considerably higher. This needs to update. This is just to show you the basic options. So what my the goal I think tonight is just to say, you know, small, vote in a year, small. Try to vote soon and see what the differences are, as you know, or whatever options, but just describe it in general, and then we'll have Bruce and ask Toby to go back and look and see, make an estimate about what those would be cost wise. But then we also need to think about on our own some of the other pros and cons as we go through. So, okay, all right. So, any questions on this? So that's kind of where we're sitting, and then
I guess I'd ask the committee. I'd like to ask. Can I ask one question?
Okay.
I'm always the fly in the ointment. does this group feel that the jail only option is the one that is the best approach at this point? I mean, does that seem to be the most plausible direction?
I don't know what the committee thinks. I don't think jail only is the best because people know that we have a courtroom, court facilities problem too. And they said, well, you're only addressing that. You're going to come back in 3 years and want more for that. So I don't think so. I think we should try and get the courts in there, too.
So one option could be you build a jail with, and it's, when I say jail, it's always going to have that in-custody courtroom we're talking about, that court.
Yeah,
so one option is... Is you do some remodel. So that option, Al, is basically you build a new jail, you remodel the jail area, the existing jail that's not going to be used for some level of courts or for some level of county function, and you remodel some of the existing. So the only thing you've saved out of that possibly is sheriff's, where you're trying to keep the sheriff in the existing facility. So there's you know, it's, so all in all, it's maybe a couple million dollars less than the one that the voters just looked at. So
you're talking, like, just to clarify, Al, I'm sorry to interrupt you. So option three, where we have the remodeling to expand space within the courthouse. So the difference there is we just leave the sheriff where he's at.
Uh, Possibly.
Okay.
Now, talking with different people after the vote, a lot of them have said they don't want a new building. So we have to look at the possibility. I mean, how many of them are that way? You reduce it down 5 million?
Yeah.
Probably 5. But a lot of them have said they don't want a new building. They would like, I don't know if any of you have talked to anybody that have said that or not.
Most people, I mean, I guess there's definitely been some people that say that, you know, continue to use the old jail.
That's feasible or not, or if you can add on to it.
Yeah, we did.
I mean,
we thought it was.
So, again, you all hire consultants. You all hopefully work with people to get the benefit and the experience of it. We went through numerous exercises with trying to utilize that existing jail,
mm-hmm.
and there's really just no way that it works. And I'll tell you right now, we're running through this in another county right now where we're trying to squeeze this big additional one. Matter of fact, it's happening in Brookings. We're putting an additional one that's right next to their historic courthouse, and the community, while they approved that GO bond, now the community is coming and saying, we don't want to see that next to that building. We don't want to see, you know, so that, mm-hmm. and it's not an easy thing to make that expansion look good, and you lose a lot of parking and other things. So there's negatives associated with that, and I'll just tell you right now, Al, I don't think it works. I honestly don't think it works.
That's why we try to get
that, you know. But that was just my opinion. But, you know, early on, we thought a $33 million project was going to pass. We cut it down to 24, and it still didn't pass. Mm-hmm. So we got to look at what the people on the street and out in the towns are looking at.
Okay. So kind of to build on that, so we've gone through some, talked about funding, talked about kind of a little bit of design, but here's some other, just going back to the location thing, I think from my perspective, I'm just one commissioner, one committee member, but most people were very happy with the idea of building on the auditorium block. There obviously was some back and forth with the city about the auditorium itself and taking away all the auditorium parking, so we worked out a compromise with that. But then there are a few voices out there that like 212. Not many, I don't think, but there are some.
But then
we're back to talking about the courthouse.
You know, and again, I hate to say this, but when we looked at the whole operational impact and the utilization of downtown, I think we all went through numerous meetings hitting on that, and the auditorium block seemed to make the most sense and does make the most sense. So, you know, I you're going to get a few people that don't totally understand all the issues or don't understand all the impacts, and they'll say, build at 212. So I think this committee, you know, has gone through this process to hopefully identify what makes the most sense.
And then similar with the courthouse block, you did look at that. And there, I mean, it is conceivable, but it is tight. And the cost in the long run, for mostly with expandability, was probably the big thing there. And operational.
It really didn't work. If you remember, at one point, the option we were shown was tearing down the jail and building a new jail right there to try to make it work. It physically couldn't work on that site to try to provide the number of beds you needed.
Yeah.
Now, could you do some kind of addition that splits and basically your correctional officers are walking from the existing jail through the sheriff's office into the opposite side? I mean, that's the only way you could physically make it work, and it is the worst scenario for the long term in this county, I'll tell you that right now.
Okay. One second, Mr. Larson. Go ahead.
I don't know how, in reality, you can make a statement like that, because the greatest majority of our maximum security and minimum security in our dorms are in the north end of that building. You don't have to walk anyone through. All you have to do is put the kitchen on the north end, reception on the north end, and go on the thing, and you've got that pod theory you've been talking about.
So what I was thinking, sir, is you're right. I kept thinking we were building on the south side, building to the west, because that's where we were looking at one point in time. There were some complexity building to the north, and you know the issue is how far do you build to it on that and that northeast side. I mean, there was an option of looking at that at one point in time, and I guess that's how.
And here's what happened. I don't know how it happened or why it happened, but it seemed to me, and it resonated with a lot of voters when we had the big turnout. They put a new fencing area on the north side pretty well, and it was getting September, October. And a lot of people said the only reason they're building that fence is to eliminate that. They say, well, we're going to spend taxpayer money with it. There's a lot of people that I've talked to, and if you look at a clear ballot with the rule vote, you better look at them percentages, because a lot of people in town didn't realize that they could vote for that. And I had two of them right in my own family. Yep. And I'll tell you what, if you think I read the statement where it was something to the effect that we come really close or whatever in this election. If you don't go on the north side of that jail or let Cuffett, the organization that I have, get an independent architect in here, and hopefully we could pay for it to take a tour of that jail. That jail isn't the decrepit old building that everyone says it is on the county commission. I worked in that building for 28 years. Well, I was the county commissioner for 12 years.
Thanks, Mr. Larson, for your comment. So that I do appreciate the sense that it gives about from a public awareness perspective. I can't think of any other location options. I mean, you just heard from Mr. Larson, the courthouse block, that's still in some people's minds. 212 and a few, and then we've obviously been talking about the auditorium block too. So let's put down any other things that we need to be thinking about. And then move on from there. The goal is, I don't want to stay here super late, because I know we've had some long, long meetings in the past, and I don't want to do that. So I just want to make note of any other things that are on people's minds on the committee that we need to be thinking about as we go back to recommendations we need to make to the county commissioners, other ideas, and then we need to come up with a few options that we have to have folks evaluate. Okay, I guess we're good. Let me skip down here real quick. We were talking about alternatives before, this is some of the top three are ones that are going on right now. And then actually the top four, so the sheriff was talking about a little bit of electronic monitoring, but the down the road possibilities that Judge Spears and Al were talking about. So the apps and the, I guess, case processing, was that, and some of the sentencing guidelines,
practices.
Yeah,
the judges,
okay.
You might have to take a look at that.
Yeah, and so I guess I kind of see those things as kind of always going on. We got to keep on working. Now, that's one of the reasons we went toward the, kind of a modestly sized 120-bed jail, with the idea that we're going to have, we don't want that thing to fill up quickly, so we're going to have to keep on working alternatives. So, and that's going on. Maybe a couple of us need to sit down with you and just say, start coming up with some ideas. We had a NACO event in Pennington County about 2 months ago, where they had a lot of ideas, and I'll come and talk to you about that maybe. But it dealt with case processing in a lot of ways, and some other things that would involve the state's attorney. Okay, so what I'm hoping we can do is come up with a few things that we can go back and evaluate in terms of the size of the option, location. Or not the size of the design, and how we want to fund it, and then the timing of a vote, and then go back and say, let's lay out each one in terms of more or less the criteria that we have, And we're not going to try to do that. We're not going to try to evaluate them at this meeting, but just to identify some of the things that we want to evaluate. And I gave some examples of what I was thinking on the two far right columns. And if those are the only two, then we can move on and evaluate those. But I think we might have some other ideas out there. So I'd like to hear what other people are thinking is realistic. Let's talk about funding. Let's just take it from the top. All right, the options are basically general obligation that requires going to a vote, or a COP. It doesn't sound like a leaseback is anything we'd want to even touch. I mean, that's very expensive. So the only advantage of a COP is that you can do it quickly and hope it doesn't get referred, and now you save money on the inflation. Are you guys good with evaluating, at least looking at what the cost impact of that would be? But that's going to be dependent upon the timing of when we would do an election. So,
I'm going to be able to make a comment on that.
Sure, please.
And that is, like you said, the COP would hopefully get it done quickly and not be referred. I think you could probably cancel that one
I think it probably will be.
Just plan on the general obligation would be my thought.
Okay. Well, let's just build an option here. So,
is everybody else agree with that?
So basically this here. Okay.
I would just make a comment that I think we got to look at alternative funding options, not just property tax.
That's the other ongoing thing that we're going to have to do. Is go back. I mean, we'll try going back to the legislature. Just so everybody understands it, I think that's what you're referring to. In 2016, Cottington County led the way with going to the County Commissioners Association, and then we actually got a bill number, Senate Bill 105 in 2016, asking can we please as a county ask our voters for sales tax instead of property tax if we think that's the best thing in our situation. And it was killed in committee. That was the year of the teacher pay raise. So that was everybody said good job, but sorry. That's basically what the answer was. So we need to keep on working that, and that I have to look to the lobbyists in the world, like the County Commissioners Association, as far as what's good timing for that in the process. You know, I think we would all love to be able to do that. So I've asked the question about maybe going back the next session to try to do that. And then we'll just keep plugging away. Because where that idea came from was I was calling around to other county commissioners in other states and saying, how did you get your bond to pass? And in two cases, it was sales tax. So I looked at their laws and came up with a concept. So we'll keep working that. But those are big ifs. Is what I'm finding as good an idea as I thought my idea was. Everybody else thinks they have better ideas about, and there's like 400 good ideas going on at the same time in the legislature in any given session. That's what I learned as a lobbyist that year. So when you have that amount of, it's going back to an option to look at, design wise. I think we're looking at probably looking at the smallest, the basic jail in custody courtroom. Do you want to evaluate maybe adding just the remodeling without the sheriff's office? I mean, just to see what that would...
Remodeling?
Well, the remodeling, say, this, the option that we proposed to the voters this time had, you know, new jail.
New building.
Yeah, new building, yep. Jail, or with a courtroom. Remodeling the current courthouse and office, or current jail and new office space, moving those out, and remodeling the courthouse, and then building a new sheriff's office. Take the sheriff's office out, leave him where he's at. That saves, a few million dollars. And so, I mean, we can do that as an option. We can evaluate that too.
So you're saying
basically
using the jail with small parking that you're talking about building a new one, right?
Yeah, that's what that's option one. That's what I'm looking at. Okay.
And I guess I don't understand what you're.
Well, I mean, or it could be, or the other option could be where we do, say, the jail with a small courtroom, and then remodel the jail, remodel the courthouse, to help.
Oh.
And then, but not
move
the sheriff's office.
Existing building.
Yeah, yeah. Leave the sheriff where he's at. So that's another thing we can evaluate. So like this one. And then, but then the amount is higher over here, right? So,
you know, we'd have to. I don't want to guess at that in this meeting. We'd have to kind of go through and assess what those costs are.
Okay.
So I just put it as a question.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. But GO bond, and then location. I think, you know, we can. I guess we could look at. It's hard to. We've been through the auditorium. We've been through the courthouse block. Hey, what do you guys think about location? Stick with. I mean, do you want to evaluate anything else? Do you think we should evaluate anything else besides the auditorium block? We kind of know the comparisons. I think of what's there. We can mix and match, maybe.
Stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so that's, and that, we're going to have to, I'm going to have to touch base with the city on that one to see if that's what they think, and the property owners. Obviously, public awareness, that's, we're going to, the more time we have, the more time we have for the public awareness effort. And now as far as timing of a vote, I mean, you could look at, the next general election is November next year. And do you want to talk a little bit about vote time, you know, how you've seen a lot of, mm-hmm. school districts and stuff go back to the voters repeatedly with this, and can you give us some idea of what kind of, I guess, the success rate? I mean, what happens in those scenarios? I think that might be helpful.
Typically speaking, your general elections, the more voters you get to turn out, the higher the chance it's going to pass. If you look at your 14 versus your 18, you were very close this time. But in 14, you had twice the number of people voting. You had 10,000 then, and now you only had 5,000. So that says to me, when you go forward, in 2014, it was a governor's race and it was a Senate race. In 2018, we're going to have probably a pretty good contested governor's race as well as maybe a Senate race on that. So you know you're going to have the highest voter turnout on that.
Mm-hmm.
You had a city-county election this time, which gave you, I think, about, 30-35% voter turnout, which was good.
Yeah, 30. I think it was 34 in the city, 31 countywide.
For a
local election, yeah.
For a June election, because those are always tough. So maybe I would look at it and say, do you go hope for the best, plan for the worst, knowing that your ultimate thing you have to get past is just the jail and the jail alone? Do you reserve that for your general election in November of 18 and go with the jail plus a remodel in May of 18? You know, those are things that you have to answer politically, but as you get whittled down, what is it that the public's going to accept? Do you believe, I mean, the absolute thing you need the most is the jail, right, from what I'm hearing? The rest,
that's the main priority.
You need it, logically, you have to have it, but remember, voters aren't logical, because has anybody ever been to the Hamlin School District? That location makes absolutely no sense, but that's what the voters approved. And so it's sort of getting into the mind of the voters of saying, do you go after them in May?
Mm-hmm.
Then when do you time it in May? You generally always get a very resistant from the rural vote. And now what I'm saying is not necessarily politically correct, but if you go after the second week of May, are the farmers in the field, and you focus on your city. The schools that fail, what they end up doing time and time again is they go after that city vote. And right or wrong, that's how they get things passed. They scale it down. You can't go at it at the same amount. Very rarely, I've never seen one work that goes after the same deal. In fact, it'll lose miserably the second time.
Yeah, we don't want it. Yeah, I think it's clear we need to
So when you look at your public vote, the question is, do you go in May of 18? You really bust your butt to make sure it passed, but if for some reason it doesn't, that leaves you the Armageddon of November 18 where it's all in at that point.
I see. Okay.
Early at the start of this meeting and your presentation was what do we think the voters would approve mm-hmm. in an amount?
Right.
And I don't think we know that. And so in any of your other projects, has there been any opinion research done of the voters? And would that be an idea, or is that a horrible idea?
I think it's a good idea, especially with social media, to put it out there and see what amount, what's making this fail? What is it? The need is there, and sometimes when you're so close to it, it's also logical to us of why it should be there, but what's Joe Public saying? I joke with the Walmart theory. I'll buy it for $19.99, but not $20. You look at all the GO bonds in this state, and it's like the 18.7. It's not the 19 million because that resonates wrong. It's the 4.5 or the 4.99, but never a 5 a month. And so you go back, and I've seen polls in the paper run afterwards. What amount is a straw poll? It's just, you know, it's anecdotal, but it gives you a better sense. What's the coffee shop saying? What is it in an amount? I don't think anybody's questioned there's a need, but some way or another, there's an amount stuck in their mind.
Because I think what I've observed in the last two elections, and I worked on this one as a non-voting member, but talked to a lot of people. Before I took the bench, I represented a lot of farmers and ranchers. And what I'm hearing is any amount right now is no because of lower land prices are going down. Commodity prices are in the tank. And cost of production are up, and so our rural brothers and sisters, any amount is going to be a no. But I could be wrong on that.
Well, I mean, I think it's well, there's a rule there.
Okay. my comment to Lee the other day was, I thought it would pass, but what I didn't anticipate was the rural vote, and it was down because people are losing money basically this year and last year, and they just didn't have the money to start pitching in. If we would be at $4.50 corn, it probably would go, because then you're making some money. I think it's just as you said, it's just the current economics of the farm right now, or, you know, people cannot take anymore.
It's hard to time it, though, with a, you know, when you're doing election.
And there's no...
Yeah.
And you can't, yeah.
And the farm... The farm income and
it's been down for about 3 years. So
in
it should
the tank, and there's no
should be coming back in a year.
Okay.
But the idea is to save everybody money. I mean, that's so.
But to bring you back on what Greg was saying, there's a lot of businessmen that don't like the cost either.
Yeah.
Because they're dependent on the farm economy.
Yeah, we're not buying any pickups.
Yeah. So they're losing money too, and they're having a tough time. I think
you know, the city wasn't as strong. We won the city, but it wasn't super strong.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
But if things get worse, it's going to be worse.
Yeah.
But so what we have to try to think about is not what we can ramrod through, but what we can get through knowing what they're going to pass. Because if we try to get something to go and it doesn't, then we're going to be 2 years down the road again.
So it gets, I think what I hear you saying is, let's just plan for something that we think is realistic when we think it's realistic,
right?
One time, and then
everybody can live with.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds to me like we might be looking pretty. If voter turnout is what helps, voter turnout's always good. High voter turnout.
Right now, that would be the jail. That's our number one priority.
I think
Todd, you mentioned, you said the higher the turnout, the less up it's going to go, or
the more likely it passes.
Okay, but yet in 18 we had a huge turnout and it failed miserably. This time there was less turnout and it turned to sweet. So it's in this scenario is just the reverse of what normally happens.
I hope this doesn't sound bad, but this 2.5 years we learned from 2014.
Right.
We did things very differently, And I think that did bear some fruit. Not enough.
There was a lot more public information from what I
so, I mean,
I wasn't on this committee 24
years. You're dialed in to the right project on that lower voter turnout almost passing, is what it says to me statistically.
And
you're doing it right. Now it's just getting that higher voter turnout, because there's one thing about a no voter, they always vote. It's getting that yes voter who thinks they pass. That just happened to got busy that day.
All right. So why don't we? So what I'm hearing you say is we kind of, I think we need to understand the price impact, the cost impact of a November 2018 vote. I think that's what I'm hearing. Is that a pretty fair thing to understand? And that would also apply to, you know, what do we think interest rates are going to do between now and then?
And that's a hard thing.
So.
Toby is saying in the November election would be a better one for us. And I feel like going back a year from now and doing it again is too quick.
Okay, so you think November, that's roughly a year.
If that's what you're saying, in November with the higher turnout.
Why don't we ask some of the crowd what they think for a dollar price? And we have a good crowd here tonight, too.
I was going to do that.
And I guess I'm jumping the gun there a little bit.
It's going to be, I guess it's probably as good a point as any. So, okay.
Anybody just quickly go down the line?
Yeah, anybody want to make a comment?
Start with Brendan.
Now's your chance.
I guess I hate to see us, I know when you're saying we have to scale down, but for operational reasons, taking that sheriff's office away from where the jail is, I hate to see us go that route.
Well, we can still evaluate, though. I mean, if we want to, we can still evaluate, you know, that option, you know. We could still do that.
Because then if you leave a shop, are you going to do some remodeling? What are you going to really remodel? Something jail portion? I don't know how much that would be and what would fit into that also.
Okay.
You were talking about, I don't know if there's any way to do, like, some sort of a postcard mailing to the residents, don't have a name on there, just send it out for some input as to why did you not vote for it, or did you vote for it, or whatever, just kind of get a generic feel for what was the reason.
That would be good PR.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, I think saving $1 million year would go a long way.
As in saving on the overall cost of the project? You mean?
No, on what the county can do. I understand you saved about $500,000 each year to get that.
Not each year. That was since what, 2000? You were commissioner. You guys started.
Didn't you say that you saved $300,000 or $400,000 every year?
On average,
but
it varies.
About $500,000.
And the same way with legislation, I know talking with people that they don't think that the property tax in Cottingham County should be the whole brunt of building this. When we get, I know it's a minor amount, but people from other counties and that, and
you should come to Pure with me, and we'll sit there in the committee, and I'm serious, because it might not be a bad thing, because I think, going back to that, I mean, you can tell me what the sense is, Greg and Larry, but when you look at the jail percentage, the city,
about 10%.
The city arrests in the jail are probably what, 80 or 90%.
Yes.
But then the property valuations, what's the city is probably in the 70%. I can't remember now. It's somewhere around 70%. So that means of the county, it's 30-ish% of the valuations. So that means 30% of the property. You know, because counties don't levy differently on different types of property. So there's that sense of a disparity, perhaps. I mean, do you think that's maybe...
The other thing would be a sales tax. We went up a 0.5% for teachers. There's Coddington County isn't the only one that is in dire straits of a graded jail or that. You know, and I'm not sure when the 0.5% goes off. And no sunset on that. So,
on the teacher one, right?
Nope. That's permanent.
But so we went.
But you could sunset, and people would feel good about that.
Yeah.
What'd they make, 80 million and what's that half a cent in the statewide?
The Municipal League tried that back in 2010 or 11 to allow cities to vote on a property tax, and it's still, to be honest, this administration, I do a lot of work for the governor's office. I think you're going to have to wait till 2019 because they are about as anti-tax as you can possibly get.
Well, we'll talk to the county commission. Well, the article.
I love the idea. Trust me, I've done shooting water on it.
But we tried in 2016. So I was, you can go listen to the recording if you want.
Yeah,
to. It was great. I was a lot of, but I said the farm committee likes that idea. I think we all like that idea.
And since the economy is down, that 23 million actually takes away as a negative toward the economy. Because it goes into bond payments and that, you know, when it's spent rurally or spent in the stores and that, it turns over seven times.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big boost. You take $1 million a year away from, and then you can consider that $7 million over a year's time that's taken out of the economy. You aren't going to have a good economy down the road very, very easily.
I have some comment things that I've heard. One thing that I guess I appreciate Judge Spears' comments as far as taking a look at sentencing and so on and so forth. We don't talk or hear anything of all the meetings I've been to on rehab and what we can do to help. I was told 70% of the inmates in the jail are either addicts or they have some kind of mental problems. And we seem to just think incarceration is going to be the key to everything. And yet we don't talk about any of that kind of stuff, which would lower our numbers in the jail. So therefore, do we really need a modest $120 jail that you referred to? I don't look at 120 beds being modest in my point, I guess. As far as the election that we just had, a city election, I don't know how many people I heard say to me, oh, you mean I get to vote? I live in the county. This is a city election. I mean, actually, tying it to the...
That was a great idea. It came at a public meeting. Somebody suggested to us, you know, we're...
No, I know, but what I'm saying is that I'm glad you're at least talking November 2018. But I really think that if one of the options you don't pursue is building right where we're at, adding on and doing whatever, taking a look at that, I think it's going to take something like that to get the public to buy into this. I just
I got to make a comment on the public not being aware. I mean, the media put that out a lot, and whether or not people chose to listen was up to them. We, as a committee, went around and we did public information meetings at every small town in the county. And in one town I know, we were all there, nobody showed up. And I realize that that's a timing issue. And I think we're all aware of that. But if, you know, I mean, we can put it out there. If they choose not to listen, that's up to them.
It's not but choosing whether they listen. I listen to What's Up almost every morning. I never heard it once on Hanson. I heard Lee went to one of the fraternal organizations and gave a speech on it. But the mindset of the people is you're caught between a rock and a hard place, and that is the people are saying, nope, we aren't going to let them tear that jail down. It's too good a building. And everyone on the committee is saying how bad the building is.
Well, that's what I think that's why we came up with a compromise of using it not for jail but for office space. I mean, it's a solid building. No argument with that.
But I think the point that you have to eliminate is that is a Brookings, Sioux Falls, Meade County. They all built right on there.
Yeah, but they have the space to do it, and they
we have the space.
That's true. You can cram it on there, but then think about this: do we want to limit? I mean, here's I'll just
you're gaining 60 cells, 60 beds right on the north end of the jail, the current jail.
Here's I appreciate your comment, Mr. Larson. The rationale we went through was that we don't get the number one. We don't get the modern jail by keeping that building, which is a safety and it's a functionality feature or issue. And then second, you know, we limit expandability both at the courthouse and at the jail if we do that on that block. So that just to, I guess we don't need to be arguing, but anyway, that's kind of the conclusion we came to, Mr. Waterman. Commissioner Waterman.
Well, just as a comment, you know, the last 20th or, yeah, when we were both on KWAT and, or not, KWAT. Not
yeah, yeah.
We, what's up? You talk to them about, and you ask people to get out and vote. I probably begged them to get out and vote. And said this is an important issue for all Cottington County residents. So how would we get more people informed? There's a phrase that everybody's heard, and you can't fix.
Oh, you, I think it's good.
I've waited patiently. I've sat through as many of these meetings as most of the committee members have. I've done tons of research. And I'm telling you, you got a couple of different issues that you haven't adequately addressed. Number one is, you have not given an adequate explanation how come we've got twice as many people jail in this county as Brookings County or Brown County, which are considerably larger. And if we've got that big a drug issue and crime issue, then you should be honest enough to tell the people. The other one is our current cost compared to those counties without doing any building. We're 140% in jail and sheriff budget over those counties per person, per resident. And the issue is, if we build, we're going to be at twice the cost for every resident in Cottington County as Brown County currently is. Brookings County won't be the level we're at right now when they get done building their new addition. What you're talking about is treating a symptom, not looking at the disease. If 70% of these individuals are in here due to drug-related activities, using things like this is something that we have to address. But unfortunately, jailing an addict is about as effective as if I go to the doctor tomorrow and he diagnoses me with cancer, sentencing me to 90 days in jail. They're just going to be repeat. Pretty soon they can't get employed, the kids are in foster care, the family's gone, all this stuff. The only way they can survive is to start, rather than just using, now they start dealing. And they make lots of contacts in jail. So, I mean, if you don't look at that, but there was never any serious analysis of what the makeup of the population is. The other one is, the biggest increase in all the history in the county has been in the last 2 years. The state's attorney brings charges on most of these individuals. They have, prosecutorial discretion and so on. You've never even brought him in front of the committee to explain what he's seeing. You know, I don't have a lot of these answers, but it raises a lot of questions. And there's no reason why this cost structure is this far out of whack. I'm sorry. But if I got no problem with building and improving and making things more secure and so on. But listen, you've got to go and look at the disease you're dealing with, and is this going to be the best way to deal with it going forward? Rather than just treating the symptom.
I hit on some of the alternative, like the mental health initiatives that we're dealing with.
Very familiar with those, and I believe in evidence-based treatment and so on, but this is a Band-Aid. And under South Dakota statute, the county is required to pay for drug abuse programs and mental health. So we can build a new jail and fix the courthouse and turn right around and get sued because we know we got the problem. We're building the jail and trying to streamline the courts and make it more, because we got a drug issue. We haven't addressed the drug issue, so now we get sued from there.
we're paying for a new jail and courthouse.
Well, we do pay a bill to HSA for that, so we do every year.
Can I make a comment on treatment?
Mm-hmm.
It's not an instant process.
No, to get somebody and it's and not 100%.
We have a lot of people that they get arrested, they get out on bond, they come back in because they violated, they were using again on 24/7. The judge keeps them in. They go in front of the judge, they said, "Judge, can I go to treatment?" Okay, then there's a process. There has to be funding. And we have a lot of people that want to go to treatment, but because of their charges or whatnot, they can't get into treatment.
I dealt with mental health and severe drug abuse and addiction cases. And most that will go in that got a serious problem, the only thing that goes and triggers that is kind of a hit and bottom. And one is they end up in the intensive care ward of the hospital, or the other one is they end up in front of Judge Spears.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to try placing these individuals. You can wait, if for an inpatient treatment, you can wait 3 months. Well, by now they've come off, they're not scared no more, they move, yeah. They change.
Yeah.
I still think one of the things that needs to be done is you need to sit down with mental health providers, HSA, Lutheran Social Services.
Okay. I mean, that's exactly what we're doing. So, thank you for your comment.
Can I point one more out that you haven't brought in?
Okay.
You need the hospital in, and you also need somebody from the city and the school district. And
the school district that's coming in with the juvenile detention alternative initiative that's getting going right now. So that's in the offing. But like you say, I mean, the mental health and the juvenile detention, those are huge community efforts with a lot of moving pieces. So that's true.
I'll just comment, since I've been on the bench, and every drug offender, as part of the sentence, even if the defendant was sentenced to prison, or if I kept the defendant in jail here locally for a period of time and then put him on probation, in some cases up to 3 years, every sentence had a treatment requirement.
Mm-hmm. And all I was saying there is there's a lack of treatment options available, and so on.
That's the whole goal of the Stepping Up initiative and the Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative.
I know in some communities that's a problem, but I haven't experienced delays in getting somebody in treatment in this community or this 14-county judicial
system.
That's my comment.
That's a good point, because I mean, when you say why do we have all the drug addicts in jail? Well, most of them aren't in jail. They're on 24/7. They're on something alternative. I mean, there are, you know, probably 40-ish. I think your last snapshot there were 48 right now.
48.
Okay, that's a good. Yeah, that's right now that are
pre-trial
felony drug stuff. Yeah, and these are felonies. This is not marijuana. So.
Yeah. Can I interject something? Yeah. I have had a conversation with a Brown County commissioner as of recent, and they're seeing the same thing. Their numbers are higher, and it's drug related. We're not different than any of them. They're having the same issues.
There was a good article in the PubPO industry.
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't want to go on tonight, but I appreciate
on the treatment part of it. Just even my report to the commission this morning was 19 transports for 4,258 miles for the month of May. A lot of those, some of them were for warrants and whatnot, but a lot of those are running people to treatment. The judge will sentence them to treatment. It's our responsibility to get them there while they're maybe in jail. That has been happening, and it currently does happen.
Yeah.
A lot of that is mental health, too, running people to Yankton back and forth. So, I mean, that is something that we are working on.
Yeah.
The county actually has a part-time mental health counselor that comes in and spends mm-hmm. 20 hours a week in the jail to work on exactly what
you're... Yeah, we started that in June 2015, so that's...
And that's actually cut down on a lot of the transports.
Yeah, that does help a lot. And that's, but that's, you know, that's what roughly turning out to be about $50,000 a year, so that's a good, and that's been a huge help. That's what's part of the mental health initiative. So, okay.
I'd just like to make one comment. This is a thankless job. it's a difficult situation, and it wears on us. It wears on us commissioners. And I've thought about lots of different things, and the judge, I should sit down and have a conversation with the judge, but I remember many years ago, I wanted to buy a combine for this school right here. I put in a request 2 years in a row and got it shot down, and most of the time they didn't even get dried before it got shot down. So I just tried something different. I requested a piece of equipment that would teach hydraulics and electronics and all of the other workings of a combine. And I submitted it, and they passed that sucker just like that. I just kind of dressed it up a little different than what they'd been used to seeing. Now, maybe we should take a look at, maybe we're barking up the wrong tree here. And I'm thinking, okay, what could we do? Is there such a thing as a minimum security facility? Something that would alleviate the load in the jail? So where the current facility that we have right now, if we'd roll that back to 40, 50 prisoners, would it be safe? So let's take the other 40, 50 prisoners. Could we put them in a separate facility, minimum security? You understand what I'm talking about?
I understand.
Just a thought.
Or a halfway house.
A halfway house. Something like that. Would the government, would our state government be more willing to help us fund a mental or a halfway house than they would a jail? I don't know.
I think that's one of the things where, I mean, thankfully, the state is looking at, I mean, they're doing this whole mental health stuff.
You understand,
too,
so. Kind of come in the back door.
Yeah.
So, well, just a thought.
Yeah.
And I want you guys to drive up and down the road and you think about that stuff.
Okay. All right. Okay, right now, though, we need to kind of settle in on a few options for our experts to help us evaluate in terms of cost and looking at the time. So I think we kind of like the idea of a November 2018 vote. We like scaling down the option. I mean, we don't like it, but we understand in this situation. We're probably talking the most critical piece of the structure, which is the jail and the small courtroom. This, and we can go back and say, okay, these are kind of the options. I mean, we're kind of pinned in here. What do folks think? You want me to? I mean, just take a look at all the different aspects that are listed up here. And if I'm missing one, you can say so. You know, design, location, timing. So, okay. Well, and the other thing at the bottom there, we talked a lot about alternatives. So, you know, those are ongoing. Those are very complicated things, but they do promise good impact, particularly in the long run, of, you know, making sure. Like I think 120 beds, given our numbers, is pretty modest if we wanted to last for decades. But whatever it is, you know, if maybe we hit some magic formula and we don't have to build that much. Great, but alternatives are ongoing. Keep pursuing different things that, you know, besides property tax. On the structure, what do you guys think? I mean, just evaluate the jail and the small courtroom, or throw in the remodels of the two current jail and the courthouse. Look at that as well.
You know, I don't want to go way off target here, but I kind of like what Myron had to say there, and I think we need to explore some of those other options.
Okay. So min-max, I'll call it min-max.
Or I'll hate to put that up on the screen.
Yeah.
Well, the question is, do you do a minimum security separate? And there are other counties that have done that.
I mean, Minnehaha's tried it for a while, but they're kind of closing that down.
It does have an operational impact, because now instead of your correctional officer being in one facility, you're having to add additional people in another facility.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest impact, is you can do that. And it can be more of a dormitory setting. It can be more of a less costly type facility, but it does have operational impacts.
Yeah, you have to have people. Yeah.
Judge, is that something that the courts would consider if that facility was around, as far as
maybe kind of
sentence? I certainly would.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd still have the same mix of sentenced and unsentenced and something like that. I mean, it doesn't. Minnehaha had that, but aren't they replacing their.
Getting rid of that.
The minimum part?
Center.
Yeah,
that's what they're working on, holding right now.
Yeah. Okay.
And that kind of goes back to, again, I think if you start with Bill Garnos again and kind of look at what the projections are. Okay. And based on the numbers, it'll tell you, he should be able to analyze how much of the, how many of the inmates that you're currently housing could be in that type of split facility. Because that's the first thing is you have to determine what's that number that are going to be at each facility. Because you know, that's okay. You can't just arbitrarily pick the number and say, okay, we got 120, 60 or here, 60 or here. It's what is right for the county in the next 20 years based on those numbers, based on the statistics.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. And so that kind of depends on what the jail data tells us, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And to tell you the truth, I really feel like we need to step back and look at Mr. Larson's comment and some of the other. I'll tell you, we do a lot of jail projects, and we've done a lot for a number of years, and I've done a lot across the country. And while that building structurally has some staleness to it, layout-wise and crampness of it, it's not a good jail. But I think looking at the addition on that north side and the implications, I was looking through the data while we were sitting here, some of the past things, and I think we studied some things. But
we did, yep.
There were so many other factors in the mix, the courtrooms and the state attorneys and all these other things that we were looking at, I don't think it all fit. All right. So I think looking at an addition on that north side, again, not saying it's the best, it is going to start to eat potentially into that historic boundary of pushing out. I mean, that was an issue that I think we looked at one point in time. There was a concern that what's the impact on the historic structure? Well, we know in dealing with historic preservation societies, the more you start to push past that prominent elevation, which would be that north elevation, the more of a concern it is. We know there's been some mechanical, electrical, but anyway, Lee, I think it's worth it. The best thing we can do for the public is look at all the options that are presented. Whether they're right or wrong, you look at the options and you as a committee evaluate their validity.
Okay. So basically kind of what we got up here is I don't think we want to go away from the general obligation bond, right? And then this would be option, make that 4. And the FBPF, that's Future Building Projects Fund. That's the money that we've saved, and maybe that'll be more, and we can reduce the bond of money again. You know, we'll see.
I think there'll be a trade-off. There'll be an inflationary cost because construction costs do go up yearly, but the more money you save, it's going to help to offset. I think inflation is going to outpace it a little bit, but those two need to be looked at with all these scenarios.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so let's. This way. I think we have a good. Do we have a good idea? Are we clear on what we're talking about here? So, looking at kind of five permutations of. So, we're back. What did I just do? Auditorium block. I guess we could kind of look at actually the two variables are you just like we're talking about the jail with a small courtroom only auditorium block, trying to make that same amount of space happen on the courthouse block, right? Is that kind of where I think we're the two?
So let's be clear. What we're talking about is doing an addition to the existing jail to see what kind of capacity you can bring that up to. If you talk about a new, it's not going to be the same level of podular design. I mean, that's what you guys are going to see in the concept. It's, you know, the podular design in all the states we work with across the country. You know, if you all have heard that idea of the podular design, in states where there's a Department of Corrections or they go with the American Correctional Association guidelines, that podular concept, that podular is a wagon wheel.
Yeah.
You put the correct
officer in the middle,
and it provides operational efficiency. The addition on the new building still is going to, you're still going to be dealing with cramped conditions.
Like
so,
that.
Again, yeah. I know from doing this, it's not the best option. It's up to the committee to review that option.
Like
that's a popular design. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
That blue area is the jail.
So you're saying you won't get as much of that deal?
Well, you can't because you're dealing with an existing. Yep. Control post and linear design of your existing space. So all you're doing is adding space on the end of it. us.
Okay. I mean, could you look at moving the control post to central?
Again, you're confined by structural limitations of that existing building, and we've looked at that to some extent.
Okay.
So there's some things you can do, but the structural limitations of that existing building are going to dictate the most you can do.
Okay. Okay. So actually, that sounds like...
But we'll look at that. I think it's worth doing a sketch to see what's the maximum best way we can achieve it here.
So we're looking at basically kind of four things, but actually these two are very similar. That's pretty easy to split the costs out. And so number one, I mean, it's all general obligation bonds, whatever that would cost. The timing is going to have an effect on the price, okay? Auditorium block, courthouse block, the one on the courthouse block pretty much has to be an add-on to the current jail, and understanding that. These two are kind of the same things we talked about, just scaling down, removing the sheriff's office, in this case removing the remodeling in the current jail and the courthouse on that one. This one, should use a better pointer than my cursor, this one would be the min-max idea. Maybe in that, you know, that could be in both places. That might be in both places, maybe in the current jail for the minimum and maximum over on the courthouse. So
That would probably make sense.
Yeah, so, you know, so, but then you're going to have two sally ports and all, you know, it's like...
It's an increased area, it's increased operation. But again, these are, I think once you have these concepts, you as a committee can talk about them.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, yeah, okay. So, okay. All right, and then, I mean, I want to look to, we're dealing with the court a little bit on all of these.
I understand.
So, yeah, so.
Well, and the addition, to be quite blunt, the addition has some limitation in the future implications.
That's probably the worst.
The direction we were going with building a new jail gave the future opportunity to remodel the jail and do some remodeling in the courthouse to accommodate some of those long-term needs. If you don't repurpose some of that existing jail, you're pinched a little bit for the space. And then you go back to... And not that an addition couldn't be done in the back, but that's what you'd end up being looking like in the future, some kind of addition.
So everybody gets what we're... We have to evaluate these based more or less on the criteria that we have established. So cost, you know, building construction costs, operational costs, you know, interest, financing costs, and other functionality issues that we're... What are we willing to live with and what are we not willing to live with?
And I think one of the criteria to look at all those various options is long-term expandability. You know, because, again, if the county can save that $300,000 to $400,000 a year and you're able to put away that money for a future project without going back for additional money to the public, because I don't think that's the goal. I think you do a one-time shot, and then whatever you don't do, potentially you're saving to do in the future. But whatever option you go with, you got to make sure you can address all the needs in the long term.
Right, so that's master planning, in other words.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right, does anybody else want to say something about this, either committee or from the public?
Okay. I would just check, Leon, that funding for that building fund. I think there's a sunset on that.
Thank you. I think you're talking about a different fund, Ken. I think you're talking...
Use that fund within 8 years, I think.
I think I know what you... Yeah, no, I'll ask about that again, but...
We're also going to pass on the resolution.
Yeah, there's one fund that has... That, thanks for mentioning. There is one fund with $500,000 in it that we're kind of for other big projects, you know, renovations and things, and then there's this one, and that was recommended to us by the legislative audit, so that's where that comes from. But if we have to re-resolve... Okay. Thank you. Thanks for saying that. Okay. It's hot in here. Then just once again on alternatives, we'll keep working that. If people have questions, I'm fairly involved with some of that, and that's also some of this is through the welfare office as well, and so my liaison for the welfare office, and we'll come. I need to come and talk to you and the other judges about what I learned in Pennington County on some of the case processing, and they had some other ideas that they got a big grant out there to deal with their jails full too. But anyway, I think we talked a lot about public awareness. What about the next date for the next meeting? How do people feel about? I mean, rough for you, You can do this in your sleep, I think. This kind of I mean, we need to give you guys some time to crunch this out a little bit, and then.
We need to talk about that too separately.
Okay.
Is our next meeting you're talking about? Bruce had mentioned that we should get together as a committee and decide what direction we want to go. So are we just going to meet as a committee and try to think about what we want to do?
Well, I think we should talk. We should, if you have other ideas about what some other things that we need to talk about. Like, I know you.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because we had talked on the phone before about.
Right, right. I thought you could mention that now. So, but if.
So if I was to make a suggestion,
okay.
Which I love to do, if I can help, I think you talk to Bill and ask Bill about the projection analysis and refine that. Okay. I think you look internally about what's your alternative. I think the first step is inmate population, alternatives, maximum use alternatives, potential change of alternatives, as well as that split of who would be appropriate based on the inmates you've been dealing with to a minimum type facility. I think that is, I think, Lee, that's the first piece of the puzzle is confirming your projections. Are you still on track with what was projected before?
Yeah.
As well as the alternatives, mm-hmm. again, reassessing that, and then the split. I think if you do that first, that's going to help to define some of these others a little bit. So I think, in my mind, that's the first step to confirm.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And then that you need that before you really can delve into.
I think so, because then that'll reconfirm either we're on track or off track. I mean, we don't need 120 bids; we need 2,000 bids. I mean, I'm just throwing out a number. Yeah. Not everybody free, but again, it kind of reconfirms where you're going.
Okay.
And because then with the minimum security thing, Bill might come back and say, yeah, that minimum security separate housing facility might work, but you only got 10 people that apply for that program. So now you look at those 10 people and say, okay, we need a minimum of 2 correctional officers for that. What's that? You know, there's a major
operation.
So, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I was just wondering on that minimum security. That's almost like what you have in there now, isn't it, with the work release guys? They just come and go.
They don't just come and go. I mean,
no, I mean, I shouldn't say come and go, but I mean the doors aren't locked. When
Right.
Well, that lower level, just for clear too, that lower level area that you're using for like work release minimum security is a meeting room and should never have been used as jail space. I'll just say that right off the bat. It's a modification of space to make space available for inmates for the capacity you need. It should never be used for jail space.
But it is acting kind of like a halfway house.
Yes, that's true.
If you use that, you don't. I mean, if it can be remodeled and turned into that, then you don't have
it on one floor
facility or minimum.
Yep.
Some of them, our numbers on the work release, you know, like I think they're around 25, maybe you might write their time, 25, 26, something like that, just recently here. They do fluctuate, and they kind of fluctuate with the season. Sometimes in come wintertime when some of the cases haven't been to court yet, you know, that number can get down to a handful, 3 to 5. So,
but I mean,
that's something we have to look at, too.
What I was thinking about, the same thing would happen if you have a minimum security halfway house type deal. You'd still have fluctuations in there. Mm-hmm. So, instead of building one, why don't we use that? I mean, suggestion.
Yeah, no, that's something you'd be looking at outside the box instead of.
It's interesting the dynamics of community to community, because we're working with Brookings and they have almost no work release whatsoever. All their inmates have been more felony convictions. So it's interesting how it went from one community to the other, how some of those dynamics of the inmates they're dealing with change.
Okay.
Well, there's also, there was a judge that had a policy that minimum service time in jail before you are authorized for work release.
Oh, no. Okay.
That's what I think Pennington might do something like that.
Yeah. Interesting.
But, see, okay. I don't work release immediately. I think work is therapeutic, and And if somebody is working, they pay off their fines and costs quicker.
Okay.
Or you potentially lose your job and you can't.
And if they violate it, then they're looking at something more serious, like prison time.
Then let's. Okay. So I'll contact Mr. Garnos. Then we'll go into evaluating these options. Do you want, and then as far as the next meetings, I sense that you think maybe we should just have a meeting just us CCJAC people and.
Didn't we just establish our marching orders though with those four or five scenarios?
I think so. I thought that's what that was the idea. So
honestly, I feel like we can give these folks a couple months to work on this and maybe reconvene back in September.
That far, that distant? Okay. Let's.
We'll find you other things to do.
Alright, well, let's pick some dates then. I love picking dates. So, because it's easier to do it now than do it later. Okay. September. Boy, that's way out there. Let's see what I'm going to change my furnace filter so we can't do that. Yeah. What about, I don't know, I'd say right after Labor Day, maybe you could do it September the 5th with this group, you know, with consultant-ish people. 12th? Okay. Everybody okay with September the 12th? See, mine hasn't memorized, see that? There it goes. So I send it to all you guys?
I might be gone for the rest of that week.
Oh, really? You got it. You know, pretty far in advance.
Okay. I can get information ahead of time, but
okay.
We're doing rating presentations with
okay. The governor. Okay, well, that's fine, as long as you can do it ahead of time. Yeah. Okay. Well, is that okay?
I'm 50-50.
Okay, so I think we'll go with that one then. Okay, so you'll see that in. Okay, and then let's see. Do you want to just schedule a meeting just for the committee between now and then, just to make sure that
would be nice.
Just have it on schedule kind of tentatively?
If the others want to do it, if they don't want to do it, then no use.
Is there a need to have
them? I sense from some committee members that they I think what you're thinking of is some of the more out of the box stuff that we want to make sure we're not ignoring.
Right.
I mean, I can give you an example. When Al and I talked on the phone, say some of the things were like, what about, you know, say renting office space for a county office and making some courtrooms, you know, some kind of a court space out, like that kind of stuff, you know, some of those kinds of suggestions. I think we could still
talk about that. Be a long one.
Yeah. Well, let's, if you guys are okay with this, maybe look at maybe early August, late July, we'll just have something on the calendar. If it doesn't,
sure.
And if we don't need it, we just pack it off. How's that? And in the meantime, I can be gathering. I can be assembling ideas and bring them back, you know, if we think they're. So what about, like, August the 8th or Thursdays and, or Tuesdays and Thursdays, August the 10th? Does that sound okay? 10th, 8th?
Tuesday,
okay.
Tuesday works best for me.
Okay.
What is that, August 8th? Okay.
Yeah, that's one. Okay. All right, folks. I think, so, marching orders for, and I can do some of this, okay, contact Bill, and then we give these guys some time to work, and then, and then maybe Greg with me. So and then okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think of anything else. And then just for everybody's information, since you guys are on the committee, I mentioned the juvenile justice stuff. We are doing a kickoff on that on July 25th. And since you guys might be curious about that, as committee members, I mean, it's a training done by the Unified Judicial Systems. They have a person that's doing what's called the juvenile detention alternative initiative thing. So if you're curious about that, let me know, and I'll send you an invitation. But since you guys are on the advisory committee, but right now that's a major community effort. We got about 25 or 30 people from the community, from the city, the county, Department of Corrections, you know, and Boys and Girls Club, the schools, all that. HSA, all those organizations come to that. But if you're interested in the alternatives and being involved with that, let me know, since that'll give you some good context for what we're doing with facilities.
What date did you say on that?
The July 25th in the afternoon. So that's just something that we have to limit the size. You know, it's a training. It's not like a public meeting or anything. I guess it'd be okay if somebody really wanted to observe, they could, but. Anyway, with that, if anybody, so we have anything for the unfinished, new, open? Okay, there. I forgot to mention that there's trail mix and kind of gluten-free crackers over there, so you can help yourself. So I forgot to mention that, because you're all getting hungry.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Lee, can I just take a minute to thank everybody for coming? This is a contentious issue. And,
yeah.
But we do appreciate the public comments as well.
Yeah, it's helpful.
That's how we get things done.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. So, motion by Mr. Koistinen. Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, yeah, I thought you didn't want the moment to end. Okay. So, but anyway, so there. So, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those say no.
Now let's give adjourn.
We're, oh, wait. Now we're adjourned.
Okay. I got a question for you.
I.